Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Spread the word, you dirty cocksuckers. Tell all your grave robbing friends I want them out of the city now!
The nightmare of insane murder.
From the depths of hell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Grindhouse, where we drink coffee and talk about movies. My name is Sean Tatro, and today with my girlfriend and co-host Leah Diana, we will be winding back the reel to 1993, where an evil sadistic leprechaun goes on a killing rampage in search of his beloved pot of gold in Leprechaun. Let's get into it, me dearies!
The luck of the Irish is being packed and shipped to a little town in South Dakota whose luck may have just run out.
Accent was weak, boyo.
Yeah, I haven't practiced it in a long time. I'm also not native Irish, so.
No, your ancestors were Irish. Funny, I have no Irish in my blood. I don't think. That's what I've been told. I don't know. Whatever. But there's a lot of blood in this leprechaun's mouth.
That's true. He bites a lot of fucking people.
Oh my god. Hopefully he has his rabies shots up to date. Warwick, do you have all of your rabies shots?
I can tell by the absolute disdain in your eyes that you fucking hated this experience.
I didn't hate this movie. One, because I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret. I may have been very high watching this movie. Currently coming down from it. I don't think I would be able to stomach this movie if I was not. This movie, no offense to the cult following that I've read. There is a huge cult following for this movie. This movie blows. That is my opinion.
Ouch.
So instead of just explaining why I believe this movie sucks, I'm going to go through the whole thing with you and interject when I'm like, hang on, wait a minute. Counter argument.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
For who? Me or you?
Why didn't you enjoy this?
I hated Jennifer Aniston.
I mean, I hate Jennifer Aniston all the time.
You hate her for different reasons. I didn't like it because I'm from the Friends fandom. So to me, I hear spoiled little Rachel Green, and it just doesn't fit in a horror movie to me.
No, she plays a very similar character in this.
Extremely similar character.
And she's so dull and there's no emotion. You can tell that she like took this job and hated every second of
it. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, she like her character, wanted to go home the entire time.
It's actually to the point where she, as far as I'm aware, refuses to ever talk about this movie.
And I read that Warwick called her out on it, saying that this is one of his favorite films to play and he enjoyed them. And she apologized and said she acknowledges it and acknowledges that it was her first acting gig, but also says she's extremely embarrassed by it. So that's why she kind of swept it under the rug.
I mean, I would be too if I gave a performance as poor as hers in this movie.
I'm pretty sure the dead cop gave a better performance.
And you know what? Like, I'll be fair. Nobody in this movie is good except for Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis is incredible, but they put him against a cast that just didn't bounce well with him. I mean, the poor kid, at this point he's in his 20s, but he's coming off of fucking, you know, Star Wars, where, you know, he was a child actor, that kind of thing, or a teenage. Well, no, he wasn't really a child, but he wasn't a teenage, preteen actor. But like, no one gave him any bounce, anything. And at one point he was having so much fun with this character, and the rest of them were like, all right, I'm here to collect a paycheck.
Yeah, I was even reading that, like, it's funny you mentioned Star Wars, because if you watch through the ending credits, which we didn't this time, but George Lucas gets a special thanks in the credits for this, because he, Warwick Davis at the time of making this movie was still under contract for the Star Wars stuff. So he had to kind of grant him permission to go and do this movie.
Oh, shit.
So thank you, George Lucas, because otherwise we wouldn't have this entire fucking franchise.
There's eight fucking films.
Including the new one, yeah.
Do you think Warwick really enjoyed playing this character that much? Or do you think at some points he was like, I need the money?
I mean, everybody has that moment no matter what. But I do think he had a lot of fun in this franchise.
Mm.
Now, as we said, we watched Leprechaun today. It's the 1993 American horror film written and directed by Mark Jones. It stars Warwick Davis, Jennifer Aniston, Ken Holland, Mark Holton. Fuck.
Oh no.
We'll get into that. And Robert Gorman. This was originally released January 8th, 1993. It was made on a budget of only $1 million and brought in a box office of $8.6 million. So that's a pretty solid success.
Mm. Looking to see what Ozzy has done. He was in the newest Leprechaun movie.
Yeah, he's in the newest one.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he reprises the character after all these years.
Damn. I don't know if I want to watch this. So shall we take a look at the back of the box?
Yeah, you want to shift right into that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so it's worth the back of the box that I'm going to read to you today is from the actual VHS release. The version of the movie we watched was, it was part of the Leprechaun Complete Movie Collection Blu-ray that was put out, I think, directly by Lionsgate. Yeah. And a lot of people, as far as I know, have this set. It's one through Leprechaun Origins, which is where the series really fucking took a dive.
The origin story is where it took a dive?
So, just a little bit of brief history, I guess. The Leprechaun movies have been through a lot. They've gone through some insane craziness. The first three films, the original trilogy, are probably the best of it. Leprechaun 4, it diverted to Leprechaun in Space.
Oh, God.
And then you get two Leprechaun in the Hood movies, which were just absolutely bonkers. And then they did Leprechaun Origins. Leprechaun Origins doesn't star Warwick Davis. It stars a wrestler named Hornswoggle, because this one was made by WWE Films.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep, and they completely changed the Leprechaun entirely. He's like this like troglodyte looking creature, and it's terrible. Nobody fucking likes it. It's an awful, awful fucking movie.
Really?
Yep. And then the eighth movie, which is not part of this set, is the newest one. It's called Leprechaun Returns. That one is a direct sequel to the first movie. They go back and erase all the other ones.
So they Star Wars it.
I wouldn't say Star Wars it. They Halloween it. Like, okay. They do the same thing that Halloween 2018 does. And I've seen that one. I think it's a pretty solid follow-up, given that it was done a ton of years later and it's still not Warwick Davis. But the new actor does a pretty good job kind of stepping into his shoes and playing the character.
Not Warwick Davis doing?
No, not in the newest one. It's a different guy, but Warwick Davis, he was asked to do it. But I believe the reason he didn't was because he said it was like it's a something he would love to return to. But he wants, if he's going to do it, he wants to wait until his kids are older so that they get they're all done. Like right now, he's kind of more about making family oriented stuff.
Huh. Like, I didn't, how old are his kids?
I don't know. I think he does have one that's still kind of young. So he wants to kind of wait until after that if he's going to come back.
OK, I mean. Yeah. You don't want to traumatize your kids, but isn't that half the fun of this movie?
Yeah. And I keep putting off the back of the box here, but like this, it's really funny because I hear people a lot talk about being afraid of this one when they were younger and like wanting to go back and watch it. And I can't, like, it's, this movie's not scary at all.
No, it is not.
Like, it's, I feel like, it's more of a children's horror film, like in the vein of like Goosebumps.
Honestly, yeah. At times, the editing was sped up and I read why it was sped up. It makes sense. But I was like, this is just an Are You Afraid of the Dark, but a really long episode.
Yeah. And I almost think the fear factor comes in from the visual look of Warwick Davis in the movie. And just like his, the creepiness he brings to the performance.
Yeah.
So like, I think people remember that aspect and, like, remember being afraid of it.
Mm.
Not to mention, like, some of the imagery, like, the cover of the movie. Not this cover, but, like, the original poster was just, like, super simple. It was just him peeking out through a doorway and, I don't know, like, seeing that on the video shelf is kind of like, ooh, that's a little eerie. That's, so, the original, the one you're looking at is, like, a re-release because they put Jennifer Aniston on it to sell.
Oh, okay.
But the original poster was just that background image of him, like, looking out. So, shifting to the back of the box, your luck just ran out. A horrific leprechaun, Warwick Davis. I guess they're calling him a horrific leprechaun.
We still love you, Warwick Davis.
Goes on a rampage after his precious bag of gold coins is stolen. He uses all of his magical destructive powers to trick, terrorize, and kill anyone who is unlucky enough to hinder his relentless search. In a frantic attempt to survive the wrath of the leprechaun, Tori and her friends scramble to find the only weapon known to kill the Irish monster, a four-leaf clover. However, until they discover a four-leaf clover or return all the gold taken from the Rainbow's End, their fairy tale nightmare has only just begun. The back of the box here is like classic 90s.
Oh, God.
The one I'm looking at is the release from Vidmark Entertainment. And it's just like, it's so like, you got like the photos from the movie.
Three panel.
And the like lined in green and everything. It just looks fucking amazing.
Gaudy as hell.
I want this tape.
We'll find it.
Eventually. So in an attempt to sort of explain why this movie is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any real reasons, but
okay.
I think these are just based on like my own personal thoughts. This movie came out when slasher films at the time were kind of shifting towards, they were a little more elevated. The characters like Freddy Krueger were becoming more zany, witty. They're like pop culture icons. So the leprechaun kind of just fell right into that. Like, I think the idea was, how do we make a leprechaun scary? And it was just like, well, we don't. We just make it's, people are going to laugh at it and no matter what we do. So let's just make it funny.
Lean into it.
And it's weird because this somehow isn't labeled as a horror comedy, but every single moment is played for comedic value over scares. It's not meant to be scary. It's just slapstick with gore and not even that much gore.
I mean, there was a lot more gore in here than I thought. It was still a lot more violent than I thought, but that's where I enjoyed those parts. It was certain bits of humor in the acting that kind of took me away. But I will say, A for effort on the horror part of it, because it was still really entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, watching it now, I can definitely see the flaws in it. Like, I see how cheesy it is.
Giant man-sized holes just everywhere. They're plot holes.
Oh, plot holes. I was like, what are you talking about?
I meant to say man-covered size holes. That might have been better. Man-cover.
Manhole covers?
Thank you. We got there, folks.
There's so many, like, just moments that throughout this movie that are just so weird. Like, I don't...
Can we talk about one thing that bothers me the most about this film?
Bring it on.
The lighting.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
Oh, my dear Lord. I understand where lighting takes a certain play, but the lighting is subtle, very subtle, to emphasize not here is a huge green big circle that everybody stands in. And then when she finds what she needs, it's like brighter than the fucking sun in her hand.
Yeah, they do a lot of things that are like theatrical, which, like, if you look all over the movie, it's like, oh, they run outside and for some reason one of the lights in the one of the windows is lit up red.
Yeah.
And when she goes out to get the gold out of the well, there's a green light coming out of the well.
Right.
Like, just because. And I think it was they were just trying to lean into that, like, slightly magical style, and it doesn't work. But
it works on certain Disney Channel original movies, but not something that, you know, is going to theaters.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I do think I have found a bit of an explanation as to why it's not really horror centric.
Okay.
So according to Warwick Davis, there were many conflicts between the production and the distribution company, Trimark. The production wanted to make a horror movie with many more gore elements, kind of like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. Trimark wanted something more like Critters or Gremlins.
Okay, I can see where they were going.
So, yeah, like the studio essentially wanted more of a comedy, which I think they got personally.
Yeah.
Apparently there were several versions of certain scenes and, like, it was all edited and mixed in a variety of ways to kind of see if we can put more gore or more humor. And the movie was originally planned as a straightforward horror film. It was just going to be a violent, creepy nightmare, I guess. But it was shot like a comedy.
Yeah.
So it didn't work. I think, several of the scenes ended up having to go back and be reshot. And the producers insisted that the film would be made gorier to appeal to older audiences. So, like, nobody was on the same page throughout the production.
It's like there were good ideas. There were two separate good ideas. Making it purely comedy, like, with a little bit of slapstick, wouldn't have been good. But doing a pure horror, I mean, there should have been two different movies. From what it sounds like with the disconnect with everybody.
Yeah, I agree. Or they should have... If the studio wanted something more like Gremlins, they should have hired somebody more suitable to make a movie like that.
Yeah, not hire a pure horror director or somebody who wants to direct horror.
I mean, to be fair, the director also wrote this movie. So, like, they could have essentially just bought the movie from him unless he was unwilling to sell it.
But yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I may never know.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. So one of the other things that I saw that the movie was actually filmed in 1991, but didn't release till 93.
Yes, that's true.
Which is kind of crazy because, like, that's like a 2-year gap.
Yeah, but you got to think, like, with all those problems, the shooting probably ran way longer with the reshoots.
True.
The editing probably took two or three times as long. And then a lot of the time, if the studio is not entirely happy with it, they won't rush to release it. So they'll be like, yeah, it'll go out. Don't worry about it.
Jeez, that sucks. You work so hard on all of that. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's not what we wanted. We're going to either change it completely or like just scrap it all together. Today is I don't like Hollywood day.
I never like Hollywood. Bunch of assholes in Hollywood.
Yeah, you're one of them.
I'm not in Hollywood. I live here.
Oh, I thought you meant horrible apartment. That's what I heard. Horrible apartment. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we live in one of those. So shall we get into this thing?
Let's dive into the well and look for the gold. That's not there.
All right. So in 1983, a man by the name of Dan O'Grady returns to his home in North Dakota from a trip to his native Ireland, where he stole a pot of gold from a leprechaun he interrogated. I wouldn't have phrased it quite like that. After burying the gold, O'Grady discovers that the evil leprechaun has followed him home and murdered his wife. This is the opening to our film. We're introduced to these characters in such a messy way.
It seemed horror-ish in the opening scenes.
I really did. It's much more horror-centric in those opening moments, but I also feel like it feels very made for TV.
Again, this is a really, really long episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. O'Grady uses a four-leaf clover to suppress the leprechaun's powers and trap him inside of a crate. He tries to burn him, but unfortunately, before he can, he suffers from a stroke, which, as a kid, I just thought he died until the end of the movie, and I was like, oh.
I thought he died, too.
It's very unclear.
It's not just you. I thought he was having a heart attack the way he was acting, yeah. So I'm like, oh, man, they both die? That sucks.
We flash forward 10 years. J.D. Redding and his teenage daughter, Tori, teenage with the hardest quotation marks.
She's like 24 in this movie.
And they are renting and fixing up the O'Grady farmhouse for the summer. Why? Why would you rent a house and fix it up? That is not your job when you rent a house.
Hey, maybe, I can't defend this one. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Off screen, they contract workers Nathan Murphy, his 10-year-old brother Alex, and their dim-witted friend Ozzy Jones.
I'm sorry.
Repaint the farmhouse.
Justice for Ozzy. That poor kid was painted in such a bad light the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely hated how they treated this character.
Well, first of all, he's meant to be a guy who is slow. Like, he has
developmental
issues. And today, this character doesn't stand well because they pick on him and berate him the entire movie for being dumb. And it kind of bothers me.
It gets to a point where they're like, oh, well, we have the gold because I want to fix his brain. There ain't nothing wrong with that kid. Oh, you know, my God.
It's kind of interesting, and I'm going to bring this up mildly. We don't have to go too far into it, but, like, a friend of yours the other day brought this movie up, coincidentally, and said that she wanted to go back and revisit it because she remembered it from...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When she was younger.
Yeah.
And I feel like if she were to watch that with her husband, it wouldn't sit too well.
No.
Just based on family history.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would bother them. Like, me, I don't have that connection, so it doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
It still bothers me.
This movie offended me in like, this movie presented this kid basically kind of like autistic, but like they painted him as the kid that wore the dunce cap and went in the corner. That's terrible. This movie has aged poorly.
It really has.
So bad. And like the whole movie, I was like, this kid is the one who's going to get his ass kicked the most. And I'm not happy about it. I know. No. It.
Spoilers. He makes it.
You know what? All the main characters make it. The only people that are die are like side characters.
And not even side characters, like people that are introduced just to die.
Just to like, like, oh, new guy. Guess he's going to die. Oh, new dude. He's going to die too. Like, I would have liked to have seen one of the main characters die.
Yeah. The dad who just gets bitten and disappears.
And then he's gone for the rest of the movie. And then he shows up right at the end.
Was he at the end?
Yeah, he's the one that comes out of the cop car and hugs her.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't even realize that.
How many times have you seen this movie?
A lot. I never, like, paid attention to that last shot, I guess.
Because you're too busy crying because you wasted an hour and a half with this movie.
No, this is awesome.
Oh, God.
While looking around the basement, Ozzy hears the leprechaun crying for help. And he's, like, using the voice of a little girl.
A child. Yeah.
And going up to the crate, he brushes the four-leaf clover off of the top of it, which frees the leprechaun of its power. The leprechaun breaks out of the crate, and he ends up telling Ozzy that he worked as a shoemaker in Ireland, but came to America looking for his gold. She's getting pissed the more I go through this.
Continue.
After failing to convince the others that he met a leprechaun, Ozzy spots a rainbow and chases it. And they believe that they'll find a pot of gold at the end. Alex follows him, afraid that Ozzy's going to hurt himself. And they end up finding a bag of 100 gold coins in a rusty old truck, which you can assume is where Grady
stashed it. Yeah.
And this scene kind of plays a little more into that uncomfortable feeling with this character, because like they kid, what was his name? Alex.
Yeah.
He makes a comment about, oh, well, we can't tell anybody about this. We can sell these and we can get you an operation to fix your brain.
And then proceeds to try to find it, figure out if it's real gold. So he bites it and then swallows the coin.
Yeah. And that happens off screen. Like, we see him go to bite it. And then, like, when it cuts back to him after, he's like, I swallowed the coin.
I was just like, why would you write a character like this? This almost seems to me like
it's very
really rude follow-up to the kid that gets in the wheelchair in Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, like, it's very much written by someone who doesn't know what a person with developmental issues is like.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's hard to watch at times.
Those were the parts where I was like, all right, I'm out of this movie.
At the farm, the leprechaun lures JD into a trap by imitating a cat, and he bites him on the hand. Tori and the others rush him to the hospital, and we see the leprechaun follow them on a tricycle, of all things.
I feel like they're also trying to insult Warwick at the same time.
I don't know. Like, I have to assume that it was all, they were just really trying to make something funny out of a horror script. So they just, like, whatever was lying around, they were like, yeah, let's just do something wacky. We then see Alex and Ozzy visit a pawn shop to see if the gold is worth anything. He tells them, like, that he thinks it could be worth at least $500, maybe more if it's authentic. They leave one of the gold pieces with him, and, like, because he wants to study it overnight. They take off to meet Tori and the other guy.
Pretty boy that never made anything of his life.
Yeah, the other paint dude. Yep.
So, such a boring and dull character. We don't even know his fucking name, other than I'm going to call him Bear Trap.
Yeah, fuck him.
Yep.
The leprechaun almost immediately shows up at the pawn shop and kills the shop owner.
Wait, how does he kill the shop owner, Sean? And what was my face like when I watched this scene?
He pogo sticks the motherfucker to death.
He he does something to like his face or something. He does something where he like assaults his face or something. And then all I remember, oh, he bites him. He bites him a couple of times till he's like feeling a little faint. And then he pogo sticks the man's lungs and sings a song about it.
Yes, I actually wrote that down.
The song?
Well, yeah, he says, this old man, he played pogo on his lungs.
Score one for the movie makers. That was fucking amusing.
Honestly, like, spoilers for later, but that's some of my favorite parts of this are the rhymes.
Oh my God, that it's he says. So, Warwick Davis did an incredible job with this. Incredible.
Like, the movie starts with one. It's the, try as they will, try as they might, who steals me gold won't live through the night.
Yep.
And like those have always been like memorable to me. Just these little rhymes that he says, and he does this throughout the entire franchise.
It's so great.
There's so many good ones, especially when you get to the Leprechaun in the Hood movies.
Oh God.
Oh God, those get so fucking funny.
Does he try to rap?
Yeah, I think at one point.
Oh dear Lord, no! Stay in your genre of Irish folk music.
I think one of the ones that people love the most is he does one where it's a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
Cause he's green. Warwick Davis's performance and the rap from In the Hood.
Oh yeah, yeah. These other movies get absolutely insane.
Bat shit crazy.
He went to space in the fourth one.
I haven't even gotten to space with Jason, and they already took him into space in the fourth one?
Yeah, it's literally called Leprechaun 4 in Space.
Like I said, I wanted to watch all the Godzilla movies, but I think I'm going to put these on the shelf and not continue this franchise.
Come on. It's so much fun.
Oh, so much more weed.
Well, after killing the pawn shop owner, he fixes himself a little go-kart and heads back to the farmhouse.
Don't forget, he took the bear and the doll. So he had buddies. He had bitches in the back.
I don't understand why that happened. But
oh, no, it's so funny.
On the way back to the house, he gets pulled over by a cop for speeding. And the police officer ends up getting chased through the woods, eventually getting killed. He just gets his neck broken. It's probably the...
It's the weakest kill, in my opinion. But I will say, that cop sassing the ugliest fucking... Like, you see somebody who has dwarfism and you sass the fuck out of them? Take the mask off, little guy. Do you think this is a smart idea?
No.
This is not a smart idea, sir. Oh, and did you notice the stereotype that he was chowing down on a bunch of donuts in the car?
Oh, of course.
I honestly, like, it's an old cliche. It's a stupid cliche, but directors and filmmakers that put that cop eating the donut, the fat cop eating the donut in the car while he's supposed to be paying attention, it's the stupidest trope. But it does amuse me just a teeny bit.
And you know what? As much as you hated Sleepwalkers, at least that wasn't in there.
That's why I hated it, because it wasn't in there.
Instead, he had a wicked cool cat named Clovis.
That cop was cool. We didn't want that cop to die.
But he did anyway.
I also forgot about Clovis the other day. You made a reference to Clovis, and you look like I slapped you across the face.
I couldn't believe you forgot.
How is that? I forget everything.
But that movie was, like, so shocking to you that I couldn't believe you forgot it.
It was traumatizing because he has sex with his mom. And you watched this as a kid.
Several times. I'm fucked.
Y'all wonder why I get high for some of these goddamn movies.
So the leprechaun returns to the farmhouse where he searches for his gold and shines every shoe that he finds.
Every shoe. Even a pair of velvet shoes. Did you notice that?
Yes. This is a thing that they chose to put into this movie where... He is compelled.
He's a cobbler.
To shine shoes. Like, they even use it as a ploy at one point to distract him.
They throw
shoes.
Fucking shoes, and he's like, under his breath, he's like, they're getting dirty. I have to shine this. And I'm like, that's not. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So after leaving JD at the hospital, the group drives back to the farmhouse. They find it ransacked. Nathan checks outside where he is injured by a bear trap that was set by the leprechaun. Now, I want to make note that this man gets his leg chomped on by a bear trap, but throughout the rest of the movie, he hobbles on this leg.
Hobbles the whole time.
You would not be able to do that. You would be in so much fucking agonizing pain, because when those things close, it would shatter your bone. I don't know why they did it this way, but he basically might as well have just sprained it.
So I have an answer to the shoe shining thing.
Oh, God.
Why was the leprechaun obsessed with shining shoes? Leprechauns are traditionally described as shoemakers. All right, so that's straight out of the lore. Apparently, this leprechaun was obsessed with them and couldn't stop himself from shining any shoe that crossed his path. Much like a vampire must stop and count every grain of rice that someone might toss in his path.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I've never seen it used because it's like such a stupid, like, element to the vampire myth.
So we could have ended the Twilight series for good if we just dropped every grain of rice from China on those motherfuckers.
You could have ended every vampire movie in existence by incorporating that rice fact.
My God, how funny would it be if Louis, at some point from Interview with the Vampire, learned to not look at the rice as he's tossing it, and every time Lestat got closer, he'd just toss rice and be like, have fun, motherfucker. That don't kill the motherfucker, just make him busy. It's that whole, how do you keep an idiot busy, turn this card around, and it's just the same thing over and over. Oh, that's very interesting. So if I throw shoes at somebody and they're compelled to shine them, they're a leprechaun. I'm just going to be humming shoes at people now. Are you a leprechaun?
So after he gets caught in the bear trap, everybody kind of comes out to fight off the leprechaun. And I kind of refer to this scene as just a bunch of people beat a little person. Because that's literally what it is.
Yeah.
It's a kid and three adults beating up Warwick Davis.
This is a hate crime.
It's a hate crime on film that he got paid for.
This is discrimination. This is a hate crime. Someone must sue. These able-bodied people are bullying someone who is, you know, doesn't have the same means as them. I will go to bat for this person. I will find every coin and personally hand them to them. And I will shine them as well. How the tables have turned.
So after finding a shotgun in the farmhouse, they shoot the leprechaun several times. When this has no effect, they attempt to flee the farm, but their truck's engine has been sabotaged. This essentially spirals into a series of moments of the leprechaun just terrorizing the group. So much so, Ozzy finally reveals that him and Alex found the gold in the truck. They tell him that they stashed it in the well. Tori goes out to recover it, and she ends up giving it.
Just go in here, take your gold, I'm done with you.
They believe the worst is over, so they leave for they try to leave for the hospital. But while counting his gold, Leprechaun discovers that one of the pieces is missing.
Ooh.
The one that Ozzy swallowed.
Aww.
Thinking they've tricked him, thinking that they tricked him, he menaces them until Ozzy tells them about O'Grady, and that they kind of discuss it for a few minutes where you find out that O'Grady didn't die at the beginning. He had a stroke and he wound up in a kind of assisted living facility.
Yeah.
So this is where the group distracts the leprechaun by throwing shoes at him, which gives Tori enough time to get in the Jeep and drive off to the nursing home, which I found this funny because she throws the shotgun, their only means of defense, in the back of the truck and leaves with it.
Yeah.
It was such a dick move, but whatever.
Oh, every man for himself.
Yeah, I guess. Once she gets to the nursing home, she sneaks in, finds O'Grady's room where the leprechaun is there pretending to be him. He chases her to the elevator in a wheelchair.
Which this is where I read that because Warwick couldn't operate the wheelchair very well, they had to speed the scenes up. It looked so bad.
Well, I think part of that comes from the fact that because they knew they had to speed it up, they had her act in slow motion. So, like, she had to do everything as if she was running in slow-mo. so that when they sped it up, it looked like she was moving quicker.
But it still looked very weird. Like, it didn't look like it fit at times.
No, and I think that's also why it cuts very fast.
Yeah.
Like, it's very quick jumping around just to kind of get the information to you. So once she gets into the elevator, the leprechaun, I guess he throws O'Grady's body down. I thought it just kind of fell.
I thought so, too.
But he comes through the top of the elevator and he's still alive. Before dying, he tells her that the only way to kill the leprechaun is with a four-leaf clover, which happens to grow in the clover patch right next to the well.
Yeah.
That we never saw before. Convenient. And it's so convenient that he lived just long enough to tell her this information.
Yeah, right?
Tori returns to the farmhouse where she starts searching for a clover, but she gets attacked by the leprechaun. Nathan and Ozzy save her. Ozzy reveals that he swallowed the last gold coin, and the leprechaun critically wounds him trying to get it.
Critically wounds him, or just beats the living shit out of him.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like he was like scratching into him trying to get it. But before the leprechaun can kill Ozzy, Alex takes the four-leaf clover that they find and sticks it in a wad of gum and shoots it into the leprechaun's mouth, causing him to melt away. Which, I have to say, this is a pretty great melt scene.
It is a good melt scene, but it really did remind me of Gremlins.
It did, and that makes sense. Mm. Like, the fact that they wanted to make a Gremlin-style movie, I understand why it looks the way it does.
Mm.
The leprechaun ends up stumbling, falling into the well, and his skeleton tries to climb back out. However, Nathan, he hits him in the face, knocking him back in with the butt of the gun, and which he could have just shot him back into there.
Really,
that probably
would have
been cooler. But then he goes, grabs a gas can from the Jeep, dumps it down the well, and throws a match in, which he just so happened to have a matchbook in his back pocket.
And it explodes.
It explodes. Not lights on fire. Literally blows up like dynamite.
It Michael Bay's. It was a hell of an explosion. That's not how gasoline works in water. But whatever.
And then we see the cops arriving in the morning to investigate the remains of the well. And we hear the leprechaun's voiceover vowing that he's going to recover every last piece of gold. And that's where the movie ends.
Which, at that point, if I was Ozzy, I would have shit that coin out, cleaned it up, and threw it down the well and been like, here you go.
You want to hear something funny? Because I assume you're never going to watch any of these other movies.
We might. It might be a weird night.
Well, the newest one doesn't fall into our wheelhouse.
Yeah, of course. It's 2018.
So, spoilers.
Yep.
Ozzy shows up in that latest movie. He reprises this character. He's not in any of the other movies. Comes back just for this. And he still has the coin in him. It never digested through a system. It just stayed inside the entire time.
Hang on. Anything you swallow does get passed. My brother swallowed a penny once because my mom kept threatening him, saying, I'll take you to the hospital. They have to pump your stomach. He swallowed it and he said, hospital now. So he had to take that Ipecac stuff and he had to either throw it up or shit it out. He shat it out in his diaper eventually, but all things pass.
Not in that movie, apparently.
Oh my God. I wish the movie would pass.
So I assume you want to move right into closing questions. You don't want to dilly-dally on this one at all.
I mean, do you have anything else to say about this film?
I mean, I don't know. This is a movie I grew up with. This is one that I've seen many, many times. And I don't know. I personally think it's very fun. Like, it's a fun movie. It's not one you're supposed to think too hard about. You can just kind of enjoy how ridiculous it is.
Counterpoint.
Oh, boy.
What is filling this one wall here? It's VHS's, I know. But what is the one genre filling this wall?
Horror.
So your opinion, while valid because you're a horror fan and it's fun, I've not seen 90% of those films. So this movie, when I was a kid, terrified me. A leprechaun. Leprechauns are supposed to be one of the wee folk, one of like the like magical creatures that would always try to help you, and you know, they weren't backstabbing, conniving assholes. So while you think this is a fun time, for 37 years. Okay, this came out in the 90s, so how old is my brother? My brother's going to be 30. For 30 years, I thought this movie would be terrifying. I was very disappointed. Because even our friend yesterday was like, oh yeah, no, that was really scary when I was a kid. I want to revisit it again. I want to call her now and be like, it's fucking funny, dude. How were you scared? She's going to yell at me for saying it like that. She really is. She'll be like, hey, but like, this wasn't scary. I'm so upset. It was not scary. It was pushed to me that this was terrifying and I avoided it all my life. Now watching it, I'm like, I'm mad.
Well, this is a prime example then. Like, you shouldn't avoid things just because you think they're going to be scary. You should give them a shot because they might not be.
Unless you watch the Evil Dead trailer that just came out a couple months ago and you see some of those scenes, and I'm not watching that with
you. But you also haven't seen it, so you don't know if it's as bad as it feels like it's going to be.
My anxiety peaked so high, I wanted to cry. Well, no.
We'll have to get you through the other movies first.
Those are chalky, campy good times.
Not the remake.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the older shit. The remake, you have fun watching that with a friend.
We'll try and get you through that one. If you can't do it, then...
No!
Yeah!
No!
Oh, hell yeah.
Suck my dick.
She's so rude to me.
Suck my dick, Tatro.
She's so rude to me.
I'm doing better. I mean, a lot of the scarier ones I'm getting through. Not watching your underground shit that's sitting over there.
Not yet.
No. You find some other schmuck to torture.
Come on, buddy.
This is not the schmuck that will be tortured.
But I just tortured you with the leprechaun.
Oh, so much more weed for the rest of them, but I'm very intrigued.
All right. Despite your absolute hatred, did you have any favorites?
Anytime Warwick was just having fun. You could tell when Warwick was having fun. The little jingles, little rhymes, the smile, like, that wasn't a man who was like, all right, what's my line? All right, he was like, I get to be the bad guy? Oh, this is cool. I think at times Warwick genuinely liked doing this. So I really did enjoy Warwick 100%. What about you?
Well, as I said, I grew up watching this. I do love the movie. And I think my favorite's the pogo stick kill.
Dude.
All of his fucking little rhymes and quips. Like, he is just so fun to watch as this character.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, once you explore all of the future films, or at least some of them.
It gets better with him, doesn't it?
It gets funnier and funnier.
The films themselves don't get funnier. Oh, Warwick does.
Generally, they get worse.
Nice.
But he gets better and better. And that's what makes it so much fun to go through.
Okay.
Would you make this today?
No.
Why not?
Because it's already being made today.
That's true. They're still making these movies.
A lot of these, like, big series are tough because they're relighting the fire under these series' ass. Like, yeah. Chucky hasn't fucking stopped.
That newest one is even connected, like, since it's a direct sequel. They even make, like, the main character is Jennifer Aniston's character's daughter.
And,
wow. They have a scene in it, because more spoilers, like, fuck it, we're not going to cover it on this podcast.
Yeah.
But they have a scene in it where she calls her mother, and they got a really good Jennifer Aniston impersonator to do the voiceover on the other side of the phone. Like, it was really good. They did a lot of work to try and keep it connected. Mm. And I think they did a good job.
That's good.
Would you call this mainstream exploitation or other?
Other. Is this dwarfism exploitation?
I mean, I would call this exploitation, but just slasher exploitation.
Bad joke exploitation?
Yeah, it's like it's weird.
Poor acting exploitation. There it is.
Exploitation.
There's a lot of, you guys think I'm being mean? No, there's a lot of Grindhouse movies that are fucking terrible acting.
Could you call this shoe exploitation?
Foot fetish exploitation.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a dirty, dirty little leprechaun.
There's a lot of shots of shoes.
There is.
Like, they close up Jennifer Aniston's shoes a lot in this movie. I was going to say Aniston exploitation, but shoe exploitation makes more sense.
I think Friends did Aniston exploitation better than this movie could have.
Well,
because she lived on that show for fucking 10, 11 years.
Yeah, she was still bad on that.
Ooh.
That's right. Shots fired, Jen.
Oh, you're a Cox fan, aren't you?
A what?
Courtney Cox.
Oh, Actually, well, in Scream.
Yeah, but what? All right, I made here. Fun fact: I made Sean watch the first episode of Friends because I watched the reunion while I was sick. What did you think of that first episode? With the two of them seeing their beginning acting chops,
I mean, it was fine. I never liked Rachel, and
no, I'm not a Rachel fan. I am a. I like Chandler. That's my favorite. Chandler and Phoebe.
Mm.
You can see me. I'm kind of a Phoebe. I'm a little fucked up, but I like Court. I like seeing Courtney Cox in that role, and then seeing her as Gail, night and fucking day. Great acting. It's amazing. Jennifer, I've seen a couple of her other movies.
She's always the same.
It's Rachel Green. All Rachel Green.
Awful.
She's not off. Some of them, like, as she got older, she got better.
Yeah, I'll give her that. But
like, she did a movie with Ben Stiller. I forget the name of it, where, like, it was a dating movie or something. And there's a scene where she wants to go to an Indian restaurant, but Ben Stiller's, like, a clean freak, and he's, like, flipping out, and the food doesn't sit right with him. The acting between the two of them, that scene, that's really good. I wish I could remember the name of the movie right now. But, I mean, she's not horrible. But, like she said, this was her first acting gig.
Yeah, that's
probably the reason why she was dull and terrible. She got better. Just in this movie, sorry, Jennifer, you kind of sucked. I see why you don't acknowledge this film.
All right. Well, I assume you don't have anything else you want to say about Leprechaun.
No, I think you should return the pot of gold to the little guy.
All right. That's going to bring our discussion on this film to an end, but don't go anywhere just yet. Please stay tuned for the coming attractions.
The Masters of Tension, who gave you the bird with the crystal plumage. The picture that out-psychoed Psycho have now made a film 9 times more suspenseful. Cat-O-Nine-Tails. Nine Tails. It's 9 times more suspenseful than the bird with the crystal plumage.
I'm excited for this one. Do you know why?
Oh, why?
It's an Argento film. Dario fucking Argento, baby.
Diving back into the pool of giallo.
Oh my god. You people thought we were going to bring you Suspiria that simple. No, no, no. We must tease you.
We got to build you up.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the climax here, the build up. It's all about the pleasure. So what better way to actually bring... This is our second giallo film. I think Bird with the Crystal Plumage.
Third.
What was our first?
Technically, Pieces is a giallo.
It giallo style, but not actually giallos.
No, it's a giallo. It's considered a giallo. Okay.
This one is one that when I was looking at our Dario Argento's actual films, this one stuck out at me because the box for the one that I bought is really fucking cool. It's just a black background with orange and then a cat made of like hands and claws and a woman inside the cat. It's
that's
really
the,
fucking cool.
Arrow release, right?
Yeah, I believe, yeah, that's the Arrow release. Yeah. I got it for... very fucking affordable on Amazon because when I looked online, this release is like $40, $50, $60. I got it for like $28.
That's not bad.
No, it is not. And I was so happy to purchase this one because anytime I can get Argento into this house, I'm so happy. After watching The Beyond and after watching Suspiria, no, I'm not giving any of those movies away. We'll cover those. I love that giallo style.
Yes. And just to be clear, The Beyond is not Argento.
No, but it's that style.
Yes.
The Beyond is whose film is The Beyond? It began with an F, right?
Fulci.
Fulci. I want to say Fauci, but that's the COVID dude. Yeah, no. Wrong F word.
Lucio Fulci is The Beyond.
It's a good thing you're not Italian.
Stumbling over myself.
All day, every day.
Yes, I'm very excited to watch another giallo film. I love the giallo genre.
Have you seen this giallo film?
No, not this one. No.
Oh, wow. We're both going to experience it together.
Yes. Oh. And I'm super excited to watch it. I honestly can't get enough of the giallo genre. It's something about it just speaks to me.
It's going to be legendary.
Let's hope. But I think that's going to bring our episode today to an end.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep up on everything that we're doing, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Grindhouse Podcast. We're on Twitter at Grindhouse Cast. You can find us on Discord, where you can chat with Leah about this film or any of the films that we previously covered. We'd love it if you suggested us some movies. Kind of tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about rather than us just telling you what you're going to listen to. All the links for everything are going to be down in the show notes. Listen to us first thing every Monday morning and give us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your morning fix. If you like what we're doing and you want to show this show some support, you can subscribe to us over on Patreon or directly through Acast, where you can get yourself access to ad-free listening or unlock some fun, exclusive bonus content that we are slowly rolling out just for our supporters.
Yeah.
Until next week, I'm Sean.
And I'm Leah.
Thank you for listening. Keep watching. And fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.